Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We continue examining the final complaint of Malachi through, or maybe I should say of God through the prophet Malachi to his people Israel in Malachi chapter 3, the last of a series of complaints, each one of them declared and denied. God declares it, and the people of God regularly, inevitably deny it in every case. Say, we don't see it, it is not true, we reject the accusation, we do not recognize it at all. So here's God, by his prophet, giving them opportunity to see their sins so that they might repent and seek God's mercy, find his grace, find his mercy, find his pardon, receive his blessing. God is graciously giving them opportunity to do that, inviting them to do exactly that, and they continue to stubbornly refuse again and again and again and again. The question is, how long is God going to put up with this? How long will God continue to appeal, to entreat, to show them what's wrong, which they obviously have difficulty understanding on their own, and even are having difficulty understanding what is pointed out to them. But how long is God going to continue to do this, pouring out his concern and love and has expressed desire to see them brought back into a right relationship with him? How long is God going to do that as they continue to stubbornly refuse every overture? And of course, the answer is, we don't know how long. We do know that God's long-suffering is exceedingly great, and God is much kinder and more patient with these things than we would probably be, but we also know there is a limit. And the time does come, eventually, when God says, enough's enough. I'm done warning. I'm done entreating. I'm done wooing. I'm done revealing truth that you just continually reject. I'm done making these overtures, and the time for severe punishment has come. And that's, of course, exactly what's happening in the book of Malachi, as we go through this series of charges, every one of which are rejected, and the last one brings them no closer to repentance than the first one. And so we will take it up again today on this Friday, February 21, as you, by the goodness and providence of God, have joined us, and as some of you, also by the goodness and providence of God, have helped us with your financial gifts. Here is the passage, Malachi 3, 13, 14, 15. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now, we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Untrue words unmask a wayward heart. That's the fourth statement that I find in this passage. I'll give you the first three again, just 1, 2, 3, without elaborating on them, and then we will elaborate carefully upon the fourth. But what we have learned so far is, number one, that critical words toward God indicate an unsubmissive heart toward God. Number two, that quarrelsome words with God betray an undiscerning heart. Number three, that complaining words reveal a materialistic heart. And now finally, that untrue words unmask a wayward heart. Now, we've seen this revealing announcement in verse 15. So now we call the proud blessed. Now, by the word proud, they're talking about people who are not serving God, are not keeping His ordinances, are not demonstrating repentance of their sins, all of which were things which they considered themselves to be doing. They thought that they were serving God. They were going to the temple. They were bringing offerings to the priest. They thought that they were keeping His ordinances, even though He's pointed out to them, to the prophet Malachi, that they have broken many of His ordinances. A couple that come to mind immediately is their failure to bring the tithes into the storehouse. That one is the one that's just been completed, or just been concluded before we come to this one. Or that they have broken the marriage requirements that God gave to them in various ways. And so they weren't really keeping His ordinances, but they fancied that they had. They gave themselves credit for doing that. We are serving God. We are worshiping God. We are keeping His ordinances. We are repenting, that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts. We put on our funeral attire to demonstrate our repentance. They thought they were doing what God required, when the truth is they weren't. Their worship of God was defective. It was not according to His word. I wonder how many people are doing the same thing today. When I look at the scene in churches in America today and I see what passes for worship, which many people are convinced that that's what they're doing, they're worshiping God, when from all appearances what they're doing is just feeding the flesh, but they think they're worshiping God. When I view the landscape in America today in churches and see how many people are paying no attention to His laws, and yet they think they are. They think they're Christians that are living Christian lives and serving the Lord, because they aren't any worse than their friends who are also church members with them, who are involved in the same violations of God's law that they are, so can't be all that bad. Of course they're keeping God's law and so forth, just like the people of Malachi's day. And so they've come to the conclusion, since they think they're doing these things, but their lives obviously are not being blessed, they think that they might as well just throw off the yoke of pretense. It's really burdensome to have to go to church when you really would prefer to be doing something else. It's really burdensome to have to try to keep at least some of God's laws when you really don't want to. It's really burdensome to go through the motions of demonstrating a repentant heart when you really don't have one and don't want to keep one. And so, and you look at others who are doing none of these things and seem to be more blessed financially and more prosperous in their lives than you are. And so the conclusion is, we now call the proud blessed. For those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. And their revealing announcement we now call the proud blessed is followed by this false conclusion that's in two parts, and it's really two sides of the same coin. But what their conclusion is that the wicked prosper and the wicked escape judgment. The wicked prosper. Those who do wickedness are raised up. They are raised up. It's a word that has the idea of growing up into a house or being built up in their estates. Those who do wickedness are raised up. In other words, they prosper. They become wealthy. Well, the truth of the matter is that that is often actually true. It's another common theme you find throughout the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, this question of why do the wicked prosper? If God is a just God, then why doesn't He take away all these material blessings from those who are clearly living wicked lives in violation of His word and bestow them instead upon the people who are obeying His word? Well, God is God, and He's sovereign, and He has His own purposes for what He does. And the truth of the matter is that God often lets the wicked prosper as a judgment. What? Yes, a judgment. It's not a blessing of God to prosper in such a way that your prosperity blinds you to your need. It's really a mercy of God when He takes your material blessings away and you feel the pinch of poverty, or at least of struggling to make ends meet, to pay your bills, to pay the mortgage. You're suddenly in a bind. You're in a tight situation. And that's a mercy of God if, in fact, you are not really serving Him, but think you are. Isn't it good for God to do something to squeeze you a bit, to put you in the vise a bit so that you slow down and pay attention to what's going on and examine your heart more honestly before God? Wouldn't that be a greater blessing than to just let you go your way in material prosperity and die and go to hell? So, yes, many times the wicked do prosper, which seems to be God's blessing upon their lives, but actually may be God's curse upon their lives. We don't know what God is doing in any particular situation or any particular person's life. We just must leave that to God. But, as we've seen, their assumption that they were being godly and were not being rewarded for it materially, and others who were being ungodly were being blessed materially, was a false assumption, because they were crediting themselves for honorable service toward God, which was not true. And the prophet Malachi has been telling them it's not true, and they're turning a deaf ear and insisting that the opposite of what Malachi is saying is actually the case. They will not hear the word of God. And how does that correspond to what's going on today? Well, in our day, we don't have prophets like Malachi coming with a fresh revelation from heaven and saying, God just told me this and God just told me that. I know some people make that claim, but that's a false claim. But we have the completed Bible. And if we would read it seriously, honestly, with a heart to know what's there, we would realize how many areas of our lives do not conform to the Word of God. And we wouldn't have any false notions that we are wonderful, faithful Christians. We'll take it up again next week. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.